Well, welcome everybody. We're all who could make it are here and breathing. We can surely be thankful that we're blessed to know about this special day, the Day of Atonement. I was asked last year to give a message at Atonement, and the title was Atonement Today. From it, the intention was to express how we could benefit daily from the lessons found in Atonement, daily. We also read something similar along these lines from Chairman Ward's letter written to us on September 30th, when that was presented to us at church. I bring that message up now so I can use its conclusion as a springboard for today's message. And what I spoke was, and this is really from my notes, it may have been a little different live. When we return from the last of God's annual festivals, let us not forget the daily role each of those festivals plays in our life. Today, we celebrate a time when Satan is bound and peace reigns over mankind. So let us not forget that today and every day we are promised that Satan cannot influence us if we resist him, as we experience daily Christ's reign over us, offering us peace of mind in the knowledge of his salvation. One of the scriptures I highlighted in that message was James chapter 4 and verse 7. I'll just read that here. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And if you'll remember, I was emphasizing that when you resist, he doesn't just leave you alone. He runs away. He runs away in fear. This is the power of God in you. I want to build on that today to gain more understanding as to how we resist. How do we actually do that? So let's visit Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. We'll discuss how we can resist the devil. Let's expound on a clear resource for resisting the devil in this chapter. Let's go to verse 10. Verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord in the power of his might. So right off the bat in this verse, in the passage, in the thought that we're going to be reading on here, Paul gives us the conclusion before the story is given. Whatever is about to be written is for our strength, being found in the power of God's might. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So then Paul shares with us a singular statement that describes how we will be strong. But what is that armor? Verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So here, before Paul describes the armor itself, he clarifies what we battle against. It's not man. It's not our brother. It's not a stranger. It's heavenly spirits who have fallen, but the one and his minions who deceive the whole world, the devil and the demons. So when I look at my fellow man in the world, I should not see an enemy, but it's probably more appropriate to see a person whom the enemy has deceived, to see the fruits of not being able to resist the devil. Verse 13, therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Paul summarizes what has just been delivered. He sort of rehashed it, that our strength is found in this armor, this whole armor of God. So what is this whole armor? Verse 14 begins, "Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness." First is described a belt of truth. So truth is part of this armor, including a breastplate of living according to that truth. Right? Righteousness is practicing that truth. Verse 15, "And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace," okay, "and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace," here Paul follows with shoes defined as the preparation of the gospel of peace. Or we could say, wherever we go, we share the good news brought to us through Christ. We're sharing it. We're carrying it to other people. And that's an interesting thing because that does involve people. Part of our battle against the evil one involves how we treat others and what we share with others. Verse 16, "Above all, taking the shield of faith with which we will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one." An imperative component of this armor must have faith. If we don't have faith, we don't have the whole armor, which is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things seen, not seen, as we here read in Hebrews 11, verse 1. Having a sure belief without any doubt in the promises of God is an absolute must. Obviously, it's something we can grow in. We don't have it perfectly, but this is a part of the armor of God. Verse 17, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." This last verse describes salvation as a helmet and the Spirit as a weapon wielded while wearing that armor. And it ends with, "which is the Word of God." Now, if you just take that ending, "which is the Word of God," you might just try to attach it to the sword of the Spirit. But that's not the story. The Spirit is part of the story, and we know that the Spirit is more than the Word. Spirit is the power and essence, nature of God. So what is it saying? "Which is the Word of God," is that whole armor. That whole armor is described as the Word of God. And let's just review. There was a belt mentioned. That is the truth, which is the Word of God. There was a breastplate. That is the righteousness practiced from the Word of God. We can't practice righteousness from anything else. It's from God's revealed Word that teaches us how to live. There were the shoes, preparation of the gospel, sharing the Word of God with others. The shield, our faith hears and believes the Word of God. We can want to believe, but that's not faith. We need to believe, and God gives us that belief by one of the other components. The helmet. What is the story that is written in that word? Is it not our salvation, the promise of salvation? The helmet is our hope in that promise, the promise of salvation. And then there's the sword, which is not just a defense mechanism, but can even be a weapon against the evil one. He tried it on Jesus when Jesus was tested. Okay, he used Scripture against Jesus Christ. Well, Jesus Christ knew the Word too. And he took care of that. He had the sword of that gave him the strength to use the Word in the right way as it's appropriately given us. See, that Spirit sheds light on the Word. You've probably heard the saying, every Jew is an Israelite, but not every Israelite is a Jew. Okay, If anybody ever told you that the Spirit inspired them to do something, or not do something, or whatever, and it contradicted the Word of God, you can know that they didn't use the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God will never go outside of the Word of God. But what the Spirit of God is much deeper than what we read. And that's what God gives us, an understanding that we can know the mind of God behind those words. He gives us an idea of that when someone asks him about, or when he explains that to even hate someone is a spirit of murder. Okay, we're commanded not to murder. We're not commanded not to hate in the commandment. And although we're taught not to hate, he makes that association. It's actually a spirit of murder. That's just a vision into the depths of what it means to physically obey that commandment. A time is coming when the devil will be bound, unable to influence the mind of man in any way for 1,000 years. Do you realize that's not been since the serpent talked to Eve? In no way will he be able to affect them. And Revelation chapter 20, verses 2 and 3 refer to this. But God has given us his word, which is knowledge, practice, and sharing of it. We are given faith to believe, we the believers, given also the clear intended destiny of all of mankind, including ourselves. And with that is the weapon of the power and nature of God living within us by God's Spirit to battle those spiritual battles. Understanding these things, we have nothing to fear, because spiritually, we are made strong. This was not an instruction on how to get by. This was not an instruction of how to squeak through. This is how to be strong. Strong through the Word of God and all the gifts God gives us through His Spirit. And I have felt very weak plenty of times and for extended periods of time. That's because I didn't always know how to use all the armor of God. When things are working out okay, I do feel strong, because He makes us strong through His Word. So I want to end with a warning. That is, to understand these things should not encourage pride or arrogance in us. The strength we have isn't from us, but on the contrary should inspire humility, for it is the truth of God that exposes every evil in us, not just anywhere else. The truth is, it should prick us to the heart so that we can be unashamedly and wholeheartedly submitted to God. So be not deceived, but put on the whole armor of God, making sure to take advantage of every facet of His holy word with the power of God's Spirit to guide us.